Let's consider OCD, or obsessive compulsive disorder. About one person in 50 is affected. And patients with this condition often feel compelled by anxiety to perform repetitive ritualistic behaviours, like washing their hands a certain number of times or getting dressed in a certain way. If they don't comply, they experience this overwhelming sense of dread that something terrible is going to happen to them.
One way to treat these patients is to prevent sufferers from fulfilling their rituals. For example, making them touch a toilet seat and then stopping them from washing their hands more than once. But this only works for about half of patients. So what's needed is a deeper understanding of what causes OCD in the first place so that better therapies can be developed.
Well, now, Anamika Apergis-Hauter at Cambridge University has discovered that OCD patients are extremely good at learning when things are unsafe or a threat to them, but they fail to be flexible and learn when something is actually safe.
We used an experiment where you had one threatening stimulus. That meant it was a stimulus that was sometimes paired with a mild electric shock, and another stimulus that was always safe, so it was never paired with a shock. And the nice thing about this experiment is that we can measure very small changes in sweat in the skin. So we know exactly when the participant is expecting a shock and when they're not, because you see a difference in the amount of sweat that comes on. And then, unannounced, in the middle of this experiment, the threatening stimulus became the safe one, and the safe one became the threatening one.
Right. So let's say, for the sake of argument, I show them a picture of an orange and I give them an electric shock whenever they see it. I show them a picture of an apple and I never give them an electric shock. And so you're measuring how much they sweat when I'm presenting this sequence of pictures at them randomly. And then all of a sudden you flip round. So the orange, which was I'm going to get a shock, now becomes no shock. And the apple, which was safe, now gets an electric shock.
Exactly.
If a person who is not affected by OCD does this, what do you see in a normal person first?
Yeah, so what we see there is that they're very flexible. They have increased amounts of sweat, which we call skin conductance, to the threatening stimulus compared to the safe stimulus. And then when this reverses, so when the threatening one becomes safe and the safe one becomes threatening, they very easily adapt to this. So that in a few trials, the one that has now become threatening, which was previously safe, leads to more sweat than the newly safe one.
Right. And what happens when you do the same thing with someone who has got OCD?
Yeah, so what we found in this study is that although they initially learn that one of the stimuli is threatening, when this changes, they can't learn that the stimulus that was previously threatening is now safe.
And if one looks at the brain when it is in the process of doing this reversal, when you take something that was a threat that had something unpleasant attached to it and you flip it round and make it unnasty, how does it compare when you look at someone who's normal and someone who's got OCD?
So because we performed this experiment while the participants were in the brain scanner, an area called the ventral medial prefrontal cortex that we know is specifically involved in learning about safety of stimuli. And we already know that this area gives a larger signal to when a stimulus is safe. What we found was that this signal was actually entirely absent in OCD patients from the get-go, meaning they did the initial learning based on just learning about the threatening stimulus in absence of learning, most likely, about the safe stimulus.
Is it that there's physically some kind of circuitry missing that enables them to ascribe safety to things? Or is it that they're just very good at rendering things unsafe?
I have my own theory about this. I believe that this area of the brain might be too concerned with their kind of self-referential type of thinking about their own obsessions and perhaps unavailable to pay attention when things are rewarding or safe in the environment.
And does this help that 40% or so of people for whom the exposure therapy does not work at the moment? Have we got some clues on the basis of what you found as to ways we can intervene more meaningfully for those people?
So yeah, we think that we can come up now with new therapies. For example, in terms of the exposure response prevention therapy, we could augment the therapy by enhancing the experience of the safety. So when they actually touch the toilet seat, that they feel more of a reward, that they feel, oh, yes, indeed, nothing went terribly wrong when I didn't wash my hands right afterwards. So this experience can be more meaningful and perhaps is easier for them afterwards to overcome the urge of performing the compulsion.
Let's hope so. Anna-Mika Apurgis-Hauter, and she's just published that study in PNAS.